These are IMC CREM's International Business Students on Air.
Hello, my name is Katharina Meyer, and I'm a student at IMC CREM studying International Business and Economic Diplomacy.
Hello, I'm Katrin Frank, and I'm an international business student as well.
Welcome to our podcast. Today, we're talking about gender discrimination. Hey, Katrin, have you heard the news? Now there's a woman at the top of the WTO.
Really? That makes it seem that discrimination against women in leading positions is a thing of the past.
Yes, that's true. But do you think it still needs political or societal intervention? Or do you think that emancipation manifests on its own?
Well, I mean, the topic is in the news for a long time, but still it is very recent. Have you heard about the gender quotas in leading positions?
I have, but what exactly is a gender quota?
Well, a gender quota is a certain percentage of positions in institutions or companies that have to be held by a specific gender, which is usually woman. So this actually should advance women in leading positions in businesses and governmental institutions. As back in 2010, the EU Commissioner Viviane Reding raised the question of these gender quotas. And back then, 80% of companies were strictly against this legal quota regulation. Nevertheless, in 2017, the National Council of Austria passed the Gender Equality Act, which basically says that a minimum share of 30% women on the supervisory board must be fulfilled in total.
Yeah, and as we know, discrimination has always been around. Like, for example, Gary S. Becker wrote about in The Economics of Discrimination about employer discrimination. And he defined discrimination as a behavior towards a group that is not based on objective evaluation, but on false presumptions.
Yeah, I heard about it too. I think it's about ignorance and prejudice, but that ignorance can be cured by the truth, but the prejudice cannot.
Yes, that's true. I heard that too. And for example, if the employer discriminates against a candidate, they do not base their decision on productivity.
Yeah. And in the end, I think it basically harms both the dominant and the discriminated group, as free exchange between the different groups benefits both, and discrimination therefore leads to segregation, which in the end harms the income generation for both groups.
Yes, so we can see that discrimination is actually a really bad thing. But now the question remains if gender quotas are actually an appropriate way to tackle the problem.
But recent research does not seem to find a consensus.
Yes, I think it's also because there are two areas of interest, like company efficiency and social justice. So their one question is if the quotas affect company efficiency and in what direction. Does it improve or harm company efficiency? And the second question is if it is an important element regarding inclusion of women or if it rather harms their credibility. Today, we are going to talk about these questions and more with a very successful woman who helped shaping the economic and political landscape in Austria. She is part of the Viennese Municipal Council, the Vice President of the Viennese Economic Chamber, the former chairwoman of the Viennese Social Insurance representing the employer side, and owns a successful leadership coaching company herself. Let's welcome Kasia Greco. Hello. As a woman that has been in several leading positions for quite some time, would you say that women are the leaders of tomorrow?
Oh, definitely we are. We make part of the economy of tomorrow. We are the mothers, not only of our children, but we are the mothers of economy of future, getting out of crisis. This is definitely a female strength. And especially now during the pandemic, this is one of the main things we encounter in countries where women are up there at the front leading. We have better success than when women power is left behind.
Yes, thank you. So what do you think women can excel at in leading positions? What characteristics do they have to offer that make them great leaders?
Well, I guess there's a few points to it. We have on one side, empathy. Empathy is a soft skill, which we need more and more within the business environment because we have a very stressful life. And being part of it is not only being part of numbers and strategies and decisions, but it's the human factor that, especially in a digitalized world, is more important than ever. And this is definitely one strength that female leaders do have: listening to others, taking attention, taking care. Why? For a simple reason, because we women, since we exist on this planet, we have always taken care of our families. We always had big ears to listen to our children, to our partners, to our parents. And therefore, this is one thing that we add on top of top qualification. Qualification is a second aspect I want to look at. We have much better educational levels. It's over 55% of women that have academic studies, which is much more than male have in the same age range. We have family support very often. It is about culture. It's about social beliefs and perspectives. So what women definitely do have is that innate structure in them, that innate need to help others, which definitely makes out of them great leaders. But we have to be careful, because helping does not need to end up doing all the work while others get out there and they get all the benefits from it. So the applause needs to be ours as well. And it is definitely about showing how much we are able to do, and on the other side, proving that we are ready for it. There's a lot of things that have happened in the past already, but still a long journey to go, because it's all about skills. It's about management and leadership skills, general skills. It's about individual management. Because if a female leader comes and wants to get into a specific position, if I have to hire her, need to know that she has taken care of her family. So it's politics. We need to make sure that they encounter all the problems women have, that might be kindergarten places, that schooling up to 14, not ending up with this discussion when children get out of elementary school. But we also need to work on us, on the female power, on self-reliance, on sociability, on resistance, and aim having, and especially on the fact to raise your hand and say, I am here, I want to dare, because I know that I definitely can do that job.
Okay, thank you very much. So do you feel like enough women are in leading positions today?
Definitely not. And I think the fault is not only because of the structure. It's on one side the structure. Not everybody is ready yet to accept female power. But on the other side is us women not raising that hand in the right moment. Because very often when women are approached, they start searching for excuses. Oh, maybe I should do another course. Maybe I should get a master's degree first. I need to ask my partner. Well, maybe my kids are too small. Well, maybe I don't know. I can't do that in the evenings. Well, no, just go out there and do it. This is exactly the way that I went through in my personal career. If I would have asked, when I've been offered different positions, if I really wanted to understand what is behind, I would have never, ever said yes to any of those positions. I would have said, well, go ahead, look for somebody else. I'm definitely not going to do that because I don't know how to do that. But by simply saying, okay, let me do it, I was suddenly in the game, and being part of it is necessary in order to learn the game. As long as we hide behind books, as long as we hide behind certifications, behind trainings, we will never know. So again, yes, you need to understand what you want. And I'm definitely not saying that every single woman needs to make a giant career, but I'm convinced that every woman should have the right, if she wants to do it. And it's absolutely okay for a woman to say, hey, I want to stay home. I want to be a mom. I want to be a housewife. I want to be there for my family. Perfect. This is absolutely perfect and fine, exactly the same way like women who say, I just want to have a simple job to earn some money, to participate to the household money and have time with the kids in the afternoon or however that part-time regulation is. And then there are women who say, well, I don't want to have a family. I don't want to have kids. I just want to make career. It's okay. And the same, which probably represents most of women today, who have a full-time job and career and a full-time family life. Same like me. I've got two kids. They are now grown up, but I've been always in my job and always in my career. And between the kids, I've made career steps. So there's no excuse, oh, I've got a baby, I can't make a career. It's all about knowing what you want, taking occasions and making the best out of it. And at the same time, with women like now I am in the very lucky position to be, that can go out there and can talk to media, can talk with governments, can try to influence decision makers to change the surroundings. So the future women, like young women like you, when you got out there, that you have an easier way without having to do many fights that we have done. But definitely there are more that there have been 20, 30 years ago, but definitely not enough women in leadership positions yet.
I totally agree. Thank you for the insights. So as Becca mentions in his work, discrimination leads to a lower income and negative effects for both the majorities and the minorities. So why do you think discrimination against women is still a big thing then?
Well, I think we've been on a really good way, and the pandemic now in the last 12 months has kind of shot us back again. It is, yes, it is discrimination. And I think media are the first to say, because the moment we, well, let me put it another way. We have one big challenge. And this is the moment we start talking about children, in our minds, we see a woman with a child. But a child is nothing that I can do by myself. I definitely need a partner. So a child should not be a problem of a woman, but a child should be seen as an addition to any family. And the moment we stop speaking about children being a problem for women and for female careers, we stop having this kind of discrimination, because then we have a family and a partner is exactly the same. My husband was helping me, apart from breastfeeding, everything from the very first day. We never had to discuss it. It was kind of obvious that we would do so. And we both were working and we both were there with the boys, the first and the second one. And the moment that media stops talking or people stop talking about women having a problem because of children, we need to do that. So just to put it all together, we should ask radio and media to talk about families and not children being a female problem. We need to make sure that women already at school, male and, you know, man and woman, boys and girls, get more information about how society functions. Put more into your future, invest into your future. And on the other side, have a clear idea about what you want, because it's all about diversity. Discrimination and diversity are linked extremely close together, because diversity is extremely positive and discrimination is negative. The bond is very strong. And if you talk about it from a positive way, then it's diversity. And diversity is excellent. It's excellent for families. It's the diversity and the power of diversity is the difference between humans, between men and female in companies, cultures, company, cultures and families, of course. And you can learn. And that is much brighter. And on the other side, if we talk discrimination, well, then it's a very sad story. So what I always used to say, it's not about women all across the globe that we need to give them a voice, because all of us have a voice, but we need to encourage them to use their voice. And the moment we do so, I guess we will do a giant step against discrimination.
Very, very cool. Thank you. So continuing with the discrimination. So it can come from ignorance or prejudice. Ignorance can be somehow cured by the truth, also when talking about media, whereas the prejudice cannot, and it is based on assumptions rather than facts. So is the discrimination against women based more on the ignorance or the prejudice then?
I think it's a very, very difficult question. I don't know. I guess it's more prejudice. It's not about knowledge or not knowledge, because if I want to know something, we live in a society in most parts of the world where we have Dr. Google and we can ask if we don't know something, where if we want to, we can exchange ideas. And this is exactly the power we have, because if I listen to somebody, then I can learn their point of view, which doesn't need to mean that I fully agree. But I acknowledge other views and other opinions. Being lazy is much easier than confronting oneself with different prejudices, with different arguments. So I think it's a mixture. If I look into Europe, it's probably more prejudice because it's easier and because it's cool. When we talk about women in certain parts, in southern part of Italy, for instance, where my husband is from, my generation, many women still do not work, not because they couldn't afford to, but because it's simply not in their tradition. In northern Italy, it's completely different. My sister-in-law, she had her studies, and after the studies, she had her children. I guess much of discrimination and prejudice comes from the fact that women have this feeling that they need to be in one way rather than another way, that there is a wrong way and a right way, but there is no wrong or right. There is humanity out there and there's place for everybody. And if we empower women to be and to live their traditions and to be the way they want to be, I guess this is a very important sign we can do. And I guess as long as it's okay for you, it's okay. It should be okay for the others. And the moment you judge, oh, see that man, oh, see that woman. No, it's their choice. And we need to encourage women all across the globe and men to live the way they want to with respect. Because respect is that tiny ingredient that we miss very often. But we don't have to look into other cultures, go and travel far abroad. This respect we still miss here in Austria as well. I'm still in a generation where I know, where I enter certain circles, I need to say to men, it's such an honor for me to be part of that board, of that circle, of that network. And you know what? I do so. It doesn't cost me anything. And I'm in there and I can talk to them. But yes, I've encountered, even recently, men telling me, you're getting emotional. You should go back home. You should go back, look after your family. That's why we don't want to have women in here. And then I can get really harsh. And we cannot expect from those big bosses being 60 and over to understand. And of course, it's less and less, and the understanding is bigger and bigger. But I guess we also need to acknowledge their way of living, their way of working they have been to, and build a bridge. Because otherwise, it is us, the women, or you, the young generation, having prejudices exactly the same way that others have versus women versus young generations.
Thank you. This is very interesting. Thank you very much. So do you think discrimination against women is more of a justice or a utility problem or both? As in, is it more a question of justice for women, or is it more a question of foregone talent of women in companies that affects company efficiency? So do you think it's more a topic of women's rights, or is it more a topic of economics and business?
Well, I think it's played as rights, as a topic of female rights. At the end of the day, any company that does not make use of female power has a loss. So it should be an economic discussion, an entrepreneurial discussion. It should always be a discussion of who's the best fit for a job, and not because it's a man or a woman. That's my personal feeling. I do not want to take you only because you're a woman, but I want to give women the same chance as men. So for me, it's, I would say 20% rights, 30 maybe, and 70% it's an entrepreneurial question. And to tell you the truth, when the quote came out, the female quote, I was against it. I said, I do not want to enter any panel or any discussion and being looked at, oh, that's our quote. I want to be there because they acknowledge my knowledge. I want to be there because they know that I give added value to whichever network, job, project, whatever it is. But then I have experienced that not many women raise their hand. I have seen that not many companies understand the power that having a female thought in the boards, in leading positions. I think the quote is a great way to give them a chance to feel that female power. But then it's up to us, same as it is in the male world, to show them and prove them that we are not just a quote, a percentage, but that we are there because we are the very best fit, right? So I guess it's a tool which we can use. And the same way, we need to be treated exactly the same way as men. Leave harmony in the wardrobe when you enter and be a businesswoman. Take harmony back out when you leave. Be there, listen, have empathy, and be tough. Raise your hand. I mean, it took me ages. I was the typical woman, and partially even today, who would walk into a meeting, say, hi, hello, here I am. What do women do? Observe when you enter into meetings. Men sit there, hi, I'm here. So what are we talking about? Oh, did we have an agenda? Oh, I didn't see that. Pa, give it over to me. And what will the woman in the room do? Oh, yes, do you want to have a look? I've printed out two, right? It's crazy. And then men sit there and say, oh, yeah, oh, boring point. Do we need to discuss? Women in a meeting, oh, yes, we are writing, right? We are writing down everything and making notes, right? Oh, I can make the minutes. No worries about that. Come on. No. Stop excusing. Well, you know, actually, I've got a meeting afterwards. Stop excusing. No. Simply say no. Be strict and direct. And exactly that's the way. Women say, oh, I'm sorry, I have to go and pick up my kids, etc. Men stand up and go. And they go and pick up their kids as well. Don't make a drama out of everything. And I guess we need to learn that. Also, when people discuss something, I'm the perfect match to say, okay, you, the two of you are just discussing discrimination, my mind or my back of my head is like, okay, they taught discrimination. What do I know about discrimination? Let me see what I know about discrimination. Okay, that's point one. Point two, I want to say something really cool, good. So I try to filter out of the back of my mind, what is the really cool thing I want to tell you? Third step is, how do I say it in the best way that all the room says, wow, what happens in the meantime while women, many women have exactly that process is that a man says something, right? And you say, oh shit, I want to say so. So, okay, let me go back to the back of my head and think about it and search for something else. What happens in the meantime? They're already discussing a completely different topic and you can't talk about it again because you've lost the first part of it, right? So be easy, simple and easy. Go in there because you do know it. Go into a meeting, go into a network, and don't be shy. Say, I am here. Precise. Shoulders right. Head up. You deserve being everywhere. And this concept is something we need to infiltrate into all women. And then we can go out there.
Some inspirational words, definitely. So when talking about these quotas, do you think that they might work everywhere, or if there are, for example, differences in politics and business, or between the fields of business, size of the business, or even in countries, that they might not work the same, or if they're usable everywhere?
Definitely. I'm not sure about the different branches. I guess in politics, especially in Austria, most parties are trying to do so. Some are better, others a little bit less, but I guess they're all giving a good try. And I think it's representative. Women represent more than 50% of population. So, hey, in politics, it's obvious that we should represent more than 50%. We are somewhere between 30 and 50. Some parties have already 50-50, so this is good. And I guess this quota should not be 50-50 men and women, but should also be split up into age. On the other side, I think there's specific jobs where men would be strange to me. Like if I give birth to a child, to tell you the truth, that's a typical a midwife, a male midwife, a midman. I don't know how even you would call that. Would be extremely strange to me. I wouldn't feel comfortable, right? Same. If I have, on specific jobs, construction works, etc. I know there are powerful women and I know some who work in constructions. But I do not think these are the right jobs. We need to be pushy about quota and say, no, on every construction, on every building, we need to have 50% women, because probably we women do not want to have it. And I think there are specific jobs that we can. Military is for me a perfect example. Yes, I absolutely want women to make part of the military, but no, I do not think they need to do exactly the same thing. They can, they should be given the option. But at the same time, I need to give a young soldier the option to work, you know, in easier parts of the military. I don't know much about military. I've never been into the military, but I guess the options should be the same way. And society needs to stop laughing at men taking maternity leave. Society needs to stop laughing at young boys. And it all starts in kindergarten at the end of the day. Because if you go to kindergarten, what do many, kindergarten teachers say? Oh, no, boy, the boys' corner is over there. That's the girls' corner. So what? There is no boys and girls' corner. And it's, to me, quota is one thing. And as I told you before, I think it's an excellent tool. But it's especially about society. And we need to start talking in media, in journals, on television, about all those variety of people and personalities and that it is perfect, then that's the perfect match. We need to start in kindergarten because then it becomes normal to them. If you start to, you know, filter when they get older at the age 18, 20, it's much more difficult if it's something normal that they have heard all their life long. And this is where I guess we need to start. There's no difference between men and women. Yes, there is, because women are much more powerful. And why are we? Because both of you are extremely young. But the moment you get a child, you encounter powers that you would have never, ever imagined you have. And when you're looking actually as a young woman, when is the perfect moment for a baby? There is no perfect moment for a baby. If you want to have a baby, just go for it, right? Just go for it, because there will be the first you study, then you're young in your job, then you're young in your maybe relationship, and then you're old, right? So at what certain point you need to say, okay, I want to have a baby now. And believe me, you will be able to do whatever you have done and even more, because you encounter power. There's Marion C. Barrett. She says, motherly love is the fuel that enables a human being to do the impossible. And that is absolutely true. And exactly having this need, we need to feed our children. We need to take care of them anywhere across the globe. And this is the strength of women. And this is why we are so organized. Being there, listening with a giant ear to what our children say, to what our partners say, one ear here and one ear there, makes us exactly those leaders that have empathy and strategy at the same time. So it's a great chance for population, but I would never say I'm not the feminist. Definitely not. I want us to have it and to see it as a commonplace, not one against the other, but I guess the mix between straightforward men, strategic thinkers, empathy, and top organization is what is power, especially when we talk about organization, if we talk about the future, powerful governments, etc. So, yeah, I guess that's it.
Thank you so much. This is really interesting. Also, when talking about gender quotas, there are two different types of gender quotas. First one, we have the legislative ones, so that are given by law, and then we have ones by company policy. So which one do you think is better, or do you think that if it is a legislative quota that it is not as genuine if a company does it because they have to? They just do it because they have to, but it's not really ingrained in their company culture. So do you think, which one do you think is better, could be better?
Probably the company one, because as I said very correctly, I guess it's something the company wants to do. It's part of their employer branding. On the other side, political quotas, I guess they are the tool, especially for those companies who do not think about it, who are not ready yet. And then they will probably encounter and envisage the power of having a good, a well-mixed team. I've worked for 10 years with the diversity wards, with different companies. I had the honor to be member of the jury for certain diversity awards, and we have excellent companies, sole entrepreneurs who have a few members in the company, small companies, medium-sized companies, and big companies who really do live the power of diversity. And I think this is the next step from politics. So politics is probably the key to many companies to start with it, and then having an own diversity responsible is the other one. And maybe there are things that I can share with you and you can learn from me, and it's giving and receiving. It's not a top-down approach, it's together. And this is, I guess, what we need to aim wherever we go, if we talk about men and women, if we talk about different cultures. It is understanding which will fight prejudice.
Definitely. I think diversity is a keyword for the future. Nevertheless, some people say that the gender quotas have the reverse effect and women would be discriminated and looked down upon more with the quotas. So do you think so-called quota women would be accepted in the rank, or would they always be perceived as less capable?
I'm sure in many places they will be perceived and are perceived as quota women. But it's up to us to prove that we are much more than a quota. As I mentioned before, it's an option. I was against it because I always wanted to prove I'm here because I know, because I've got my studies, I've got my experience, etc. I understood that not everybody is able to have that width of knowledge, of will to try new things, because it's also, it's a chance, but not everybody wants to take that risk trying something new, like having a woman on board. And to tell you the truth, it's up to us, because we need to understand that there is still one thing. We cannot claim we want and then behave in a way we would not want men to behave neither. So it's our chance and we need to make it. And yes, it's not fair that we need to prove, but I guess if we handle it in the right way, if we take role models, if we look for a mentor, and I think mentor is something, having a mentor, female mentor or male mentor, but having a mentor, somebody who guides you, you will not feel that you're a quota, because you will enter there self-confident and prove that you're much more than just a percentage. We need to fight. We have had, like, Maria Rauch Kallert, for instance, she fights for female rights since the beginning, for positions. She pushes women directly into there, right? Go, do it, do it, do it. Don't ask, do it, dare it. Study, do it. Go out there, be straight, do it. And yes, we can. And yes, we need to do. And we have to stop proving what men want us to be. And this still happens quite often. So I think we need to rethink that whole story. And yes, there are many men out there who do not respect women. Yes. There are still far too many companies who do not acknowledge the power of female leadership and of having good mixed teams. But I guess women, us, still also have quite some homework to do. And what I love to see and what I really observe is that your generation, women below 30, have a different attitude that my generation, for instance, had. And again, I'm always talking on average, right? So there's exceptions on both sides. But you already, you know what you want and you dare to say so. And I just want to encourage all of you to please do so. Ask if you have a question, raise your hand if you want a job, because there will be nobody coming and saying, excuse me, will you maybe like to become member of our board? No, you have to go there and you have to say, I'm there, I can do it. Why? Because I'm good and I'll prove you. Give me 3 months and you'll be sure that I'm the very best fit. Dare and do so. But then dare and do so means also work and prove so.
Yes, thank you. This is really inspiring. Thank you for this energy and for this really amazing interview. I'm sure that a lot of future female leaders can learn from you and from your inspiring words.
Thank you so very much for inviting me, and keep on your journey and let me know, because we are here to empower and encourage each other. Thank you so very much for the invitation.
This was our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and that you learned a lot today. Thank you for listening, and stay healthy, stay curious, stay interested. Goodbye.
Goodbye.